The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Susan had a decision to make. It's a decision that millions of Americans are making. She could buy health care for her and her husband or not. It was a difficult decision because both options would hurt them financially. She calculated she would have to spend more than $12,000, including premiums of nearly $500 a month and a $6,850 deductible, to get anything beyond preventive benefits from the cheapest exchange plan available through the, quote, Affordable Care Act. It wasn't affordable for her. That was a great deal more than paying the $1,500 tax penalty. So Susan decided to take her chance and not buy health care. Instead, she would pay for her family's doctor's visits out of pocket. And if something catastrophic were to happen, she said, I feel like it's just better to die. Welcome to the beautiful health care designed by our government. Maybe a little dramatic, but Susan's situation is not unique. In 2016, 6.5 million of us here in this country, in order to comply with the individual mandate in Obamacare, decided just to pay the penalty instead of buying health care. That's craziness. The individual mandate has been unconstitutional. It's a nightmare since it was signed into law. But today there is hope that we can forget this whole mandate fever dream for good. The Senate Republicans have added the repeal of the individual mandate to their tax reform plan, which is a step in the right direction. But will they do it? And will everybody vote for it in the Senate? Here's the one rule of thumb they really need to know. Stopping unconstitutional laws and not starting new unconstitutional laws, pretty good rule of thumb for this administration.
It's Wednesday, November 15th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Glad you're here. We have a really unbelievable program for you. Johnny Moore is going to be here talking about the martyr's oath. How people look at their faith differently over in the Middle East. And they have a much different view of what it means to be a Christian than I think we do here in America. Also, we want to welcome CNN to the bandwagon, who is finally looking into slavery in the Middle East that is ongoing today. They have been they just started a report on what they're finding in Libya, that the slave trade is still going on. Yes, yes, it is. And it's not just Libya, CNN, but we appreciate the fact that you are on board. Something that we have been talking about for a while with the Nazarene Fund. But at least someone is reporting on the slave trade. It's amazing when you see this story from CNN. Can we actually play this?
Sure.
Play just the auction block part. This is a video from CNN.
A man addressing an unseen crowd. Big strong boys for farm work, he says. 400. 700. 700. 800. The numbers roll in. These men are sold for 1,200 Libyan pounds, $400 apiece. You are watching an auction of human beings. Another man, claiming to be a buyer. Off camera, someone asks, what happened to the ones from Niger? Sold off, he's told. CNN was sent this footage by a contact. After months of working, we were able to verify the authenticity of what you see here. We decided to travel to Libya to try and see for ourselves.
So at least someone is bringing attention to this, but this is not the even the worst slave trade that's going on in the Middle East. But we look at this, and then you look at what American television is claiming is news today. And you kind of think, you know, we might have our priorities a little screwed up. We might have them just a little off kilter. One of these things is really bad, and the rest of them are kind of just annoyances.
You think?
Yeah.
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 I woke up this morning to see that my iPhone 10 is supposed to arrive today.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
good.
It's supposed to come today. And I got really frustrated because when I clicked on the track your shipment link.
Oh, no.
It wasn't working. I couldn't tell from the stupid UPS.
I'm surprised you even showed up for work today.
I almost burned the whole house down in protest.
Yeah. Forget about those slaves. I don't even know what I was talking about.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? You can watch the video of that slave block in crystal clear video on the iPhone 10, and it really the data
really?
Comes through really
That's
cleanly.
Great.
Yeah,
I'm glad to hear
it's
that.
Great,
I'm
it's
glad
fantastic.
To hear that. Sure,
but don't drop it because it's very breakable. The whole thing's made out of glass, Glenn. So you got to make sure you get that case on there
right
away.
I got. So let me take another story that is really huge in its consequence, but nobody really seems to be addressing it in the proper way. The Sean Hannity boycott. Now, if you're a listener of this program, you know that Sean and I have a hot and cold relationship, and that's fine. We're supposed to disagree with stuff. We're not in lockstep on everything. That's fine. However, I support his point of view. I support his right to have his point of view. Nobody should be shutting people's points of view down. Nobody should be shutting Michael Moore down. You have a right to your point of view. Now, can you get people to listen to it or watch it? That's up to the free market. That's never been good enough for Media Matters. And Media Matters has a very well-documented, now thanks to Cheryl Atkinson, hit squad. Where they go out and they'll spend millions of dollars and they will destroy people. And it's what they tried to do to me. Now they're doing it to Sean Hannity. And this is like the fifth bite at the Sean Hannity apple. But here's why this one is incredibly dangerous. Right now, they are saying that Sean Hannity is supporting a pedophile. And he is giving airtime to pedophiles. And he shouldn't do that. And we should shut that down immediately. So they are asking for a boycott of Sean Hannity because he's supporting pedophiles. Now, what is that exactly? That is the fact that he had Roy Moore on his show Friday to answer the charge of you've had sex with a 14-year-old. Sean was widely admired for this interview. Credible journalists on the left said they couldn't believe it, that he held his feet to the fire. This wasn't a typical Sean Hannity blah, 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 blah. He did his job. He asked him tough questions and didn't let him squirm out of it. Yesterday, he said, you know, some things are not adding up here, Judge, and you've got to answer this in the next 24 hours or I'm done. That's not good enough. Now, let's take Sean Hannity out. Let's take left and right out. Let's take Fox News, all of it. Just take it out. What Media Matters is suggesting is that someone can be accused of something and the media should not put them on the air so they have the opportunity to, quite honestly, explain themselves or hang themselves. I've always found you let people talk, they usually hang themselves. So what Media Matters and what some now in the media are cheering because they just want Sean Hannity to go away, what they're cheering is a system to where we cannot answer a charge. Think of the world you are cheering for. That somebody can charge you with something, not even legally, just throw out a charge, an accusation. And you're not allowed on the media to be able to make your case. This is the most dangerous thing I have ever seen. I've seen a lot of really bad stuff with the media. And I've seen some really bad trends. And we are headed for disaster. But if the media doesn't wake up and put their personal views aside and say, look, I don't like Sean Hannity, I don't like Fox News, whatever it is, but this has got to stop. If they don't say this now, first they came for the trade unions, but I wasn't a member of the trade unions, so I said nothing. That's how that poem starts. First they came for the trade unions. Well, first they came for Fox News. First they came for Sean Hannity. First they came for somebody who was just trying to clear their name in the press. Whether you believe Roy Moore or not, doesn't matter. The man has a right to be heard. I don't particularly believe him. I don't think that I wouldn't have voted for him, and I don't believe him. However, he has a right to state his case, and he has a right to do it on the most credible news network and the most credible news organizations. Why should he be relegated only to Fox News? And why should he be relegated, let's say, you reverse that and say, well, we just want to get rid of Fox News because it's always, you know, just so slanted. Excuse me? Have you ever seen the way people who believe in conservative things are treated by the left and the media? There has to be some balance here. You have to be able to make your case in front of an MSNBC and in front of a Fox. I don't agree with the president, and I didn't agree with the last president when the last president would only go to YouTubers and have somebody who was, you know, in a bathtub interviewing him. I want real journalists, and I want somebody from CNN, and I want somebody from Fox to interview the president. What happened to John F. Kennedy in a speech he gave in the 1960s where he was eviscerating the press? Don't just tell me what you think. Don't feed the public what you think they want to hear. Don't ask me the easy questions. Ask me the hard questions. You need to keep all of us accountable. Can you imagine a president saying that today? And actually meaning it. And actually meaning it. I want you to hold me accountable. And can you imagine a press that had enough honor in them that they would, and they wouldn't take that as an invitation to grind their axe? We either believe in a few simple truths that used to be self-evident, and I fear they are no longer. We either believe that somebody is innocent until proven guilty, or we don't. We either believe that there is freedom of press and freedom of speech, or we believe in mob justice. Mob rule. Loudest voice, biggest bully wins. I got news for you. If you don't think that we're already at biggest bully wins, explain the last election. Why did Donald Trump win? Two reasons. Hillary Clinton sucked. Second reason, Donald Trump is a bully. And the American people wanted somebody to say, shut up and sit down. That's why. Now, do you want to continue the bully? Do you want to continue with a press who is going to then get stronger and stronger because of special interests? And they will tell and be cheered by the left. They will tell somebody else on the other side, shut up and sit down. Because I have news for you. The reason why I had a real problem with the bully politics of Donald Trump is A, it's not who we are. But B, as I said with Barack Obama, you don't want to do these things, guys, because you don't know who's coming next. You don't know what the next president will be like. To beat Donald Trump, you're going to need a bigger bully. When do we surrender? When do we say this is insane? When are we going to start talking common sense to one another? When are people going to start standing up for principle? And I mean this on the left and the right. This monologue is really about the left. When are you going to stop cheering Media Matters? Because you know if somebody was doing it to you on the other side, you wouldn't be able to handle it. You would be asking for government protection. You would be calling them the worst names ever, and they would deserve it. These tactics are fascistic. And they are leading to a fascistic world and a fascistic media. A man has a right to have his voice heard. And the left and the right have their right to be able to be heard themselves. Stop silencing people. It's wrong. And it will lead... I don't even need to finish. You know where it always leads.
I'll just guess really good things. Is that where you were going?
Sunshine and lollipops.
It's a wonderful unicorn.
It is clear skies.
Great.
Moving forward.
Yes.
You want to protect your home this holiday season? Listen up. You have early access to SimpliSafe's biggest Black Friday sale ever. $200 off SimpliSafe's home security system, the bestseller, the 13-piece arsenal that covers your whole home. If you want to protect your family, this is how I do it, and this is how I think you should do it. SimpliSafe has made everything about security effortless. You go online, you order it. It's delivered to your door with free shipping. It takes less than an hour to set up. SimpliSafe has no long-term contract. You own the system. There's nobody trying to talk you up, you know, an upgrade. There's no hidden fees. The price is honest and fair. The price of the 24/7 alarm monitoring is $15 a month. With SimpliSafe, it's just easy. It's simple. You want your home protected, you want to be in control of your life, and you want the best bargain? SimpliSafeBeck.com. Go there now. Get $200 off your system. The offer ends soon. SimpliSafeBeck.com. Get this special. I've not seen them do this special before. $200 off your home security system at SimpliSafeBeck.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Steve Dace is coming up on the other side of the break in just a few minutes. He's got a he's a friend of Roy Moore, and he says we're looking at this all wrong, and I want to hear his opinion and hear him out, so we'll talk to him coming up in just a second.
Yeah, I think he's struggling with it too, but yeah. he's holding with Moore at the moment. He's going to explain that coming up. He also mentioned the individual mandate. We talked about that a little bit, and right now, because that's going to be in this tax plan, the media is kind of bashing it and saying one of the big headlines of that is 13 million people will lose their insurance. There's a million things wrong with that stat, including Obviously, it's a number, a 2027 number. It's not even a near term number. Obviously, I think on its face, it's ridiculous that 13 million people would drop their insurance because this penalty went away. But even if you take it all into account and take it all serious in a serious manner, you look at the actual report they're talking about from the CBO. This is in the report. If eliminating the mandate was accompanied by changes to tax rates or premium tax credits, then the changes would have different effects. It's part of a tax reform plan. It's specifically addressed in the report.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Steve Dace is a friend of mine, and one of the very few. I mean, if I'm in a battle and I need somebody to watch my back, and I need to know where they stand, and they're never going to change, it's Ben Shapiro and Steve Dace, probably Mark Levin. Who'd you say?
Jonah Goldberg, I feel like, is not.
Yeah, Jonah Goldberg.
He's so
yeah.
smart.
So it's a small, yeah. very small band of rebels. But it's I know where they stand. Steve, I have a lot of respect for because he doesn't jump on bandwagons. And when he says, wait a minute, I need to think this out with you, I think we should listen. Now, I am not a supporter of Roy Moore. And Steve came out with a really good editorial yesterday and said, wait a minute. And I wanted him to come on and talk to us about it. Steve, how are you?
I'm well, Glenn. How are you?
Very good. So I think you are in the same position that I am in with Bill O'Reilly. I know Bill O'Reilly. I have talked to him about these things personally. And I have long experience with Bill, and I just happen to believe him. And it puts me in a very uncomfortable and unpopular situation. Is this where you are with Roy Moore?
I think that's a good analogy. You know, not knowing the depth of your relationship with Bill, but obviously you guys as former peers, and coworkers. And when you look at, you know, I've gotten emails from people, I'm sure you have, you know, why is Dace defending Moore? I get emails from people, why is Beck have, you know, Bill O'Reilly on? I'm like, I don't know, go ask Glenn. I'm sure he's got a good answer.
Yeah.
My name's not Glenn Beck, ask Glenn Beck, you know?
Yeah.
But I think when you look at the situation with O'Reilly, whether people agree with what you're doing or not, you have a lot bigger platform than he does. You don't need him to come on and grow your audience. Similarly, most people didn't know who in the Sam Hill Roy Moore was until about a month and a half ago.
Right.
Okay, so I don't need Roy Moore to grow my platform or anything of that nature. I have no vested interest in this other than I just want to make sure that we're not breaking the commandment of bearing false witness. And if we're not, and justice must be done, it will break my heart that essentially I elevated, if these allegations are proven true, a sociopath. Because that's really what we're describing, Glenn. We're really saying that this guy got admitted to West Point, which is 1% of the 1%, graduated, which is 1% of the 1% of the 1%, went to Vietnam, became a war hero, came back. The immediate aftermath of that, while getting to be the DA of Etowah County, was a sociopath, child predator, did this for this period of time, got married, and then for the last 33 years, he didn't even remove the mattress tags off of his box springs. that's the narrative. And if the allegations prove true that he's essentially, you know, a sociopath, I will buy into that, and it'll break my heart, and I will apologize profusely to everyone in America I recommended it to, believe me, and I'll accept all the consequences to what that will do to my own credibility. But since it's possible it's true, which therefore means that I have, you know, clearly questionable judgment here to some in elevating him, then I think maybe it's prudent for me to pause before I drop the guillotine as well, because there are some things about this that just don't add up. It doesn't add up that at the time he's being investigated by the state bar, no one comes forward to say, hey, that's the creeper dude from the local mall. No, no, that's Matthew McConaughey from Dazed and Confused. Nobody did that. And then a few years later, when he runs for circuit judge, he's the first Republican to win in that county since before the Civil War, and he gets a supermajority of the vote. 2 months ago, he won that county by 14 points in a primary. You know, if you go back to the original Ten Commandments fight, Richard Land, Jay Sekulow, these were men that were dispatched by the Bush administration to go down to Alabama and organize the churches there not to come out and defend Roy Moore and to get rid of him because the Bush administration viewed him as a distraction. They didn't want this fight. Don't you think if they had this kill shot, they would have used it? You also want me to believe Mitch McConnell spent $30 million to go after to win this primary, and all he had to do was walk to the Gadsden County Mall and just start interviewing, you know, the food court workers, and the floodgates opened? Maybe that's all true. Maybe it is. But I just think before we take a man's life and destroy it, before we take his family and destroy it, I just think we ought to make damn sure that it is.
So, Steve, this is exactly where I'm at. I mean, I find myself in the most uncomfortable position because when it comes to Bill, I feel the same way you do with Roy. Look, I don't know. Nobody knows what really happened in somebody's personal life. I have no idea. I can just tell you what I do know and what I do feel. But if it turns out that it's, you know, the opposite, I'm going to feel horrible. I mean, I question myself on this all the time, and it's uncomfortable. At the same time, we're on the air every day with all of these allegations, and I have yet to call for somebody to be fired or to be destroyed because I don't know. I mean, I can tell you that Harvey Weinstein looks really guilty. When you've got 300 people, that looks really bad. But I can't tell you for sure. I can tell you that I wouldn't want my kids around him. I wouldn't want to do business with him. You know, but the rest of that needs to have, you know, some system, you know, like our judicial system, to prove that they're guilty. And we're sitting here on the air judging people and telling people what to believe. I don't know what to believe.
Pardon me the interruption, by the way.
No.
I'm glad you brought up Harvey Weinstein, because, again, we're not talking even about a predator, or we're not even talking about a womanizer. You know, like Matt Damon and George Clooney came out later and said, well, we knew he was a womanizer. Well, frankly, it's not a big leap from womanizer in Hollywood to a guy that uses his power leverage to do more womanizing. I mean, that's like adding an extra predicate to a sentence when you're diagramming it. Here you're telling me that a guy that married a single mom at a Bible study, adopted her daughter, has been married to him for 33 years, and has no other evidence. There's no other mischief. There's no other crimes. You know, look what Bill Clinton had, systemic immorality that you could see was the sexual predator aspect, and it went on for decades, well into his presidency. How many people, Glenn, you're a smart man, you're a man of reason, how many people act this way, have these sorts of urges that are almost uncontrollable and so wicked and destructive, they act on them for a brief period of time, and then they totally go away, and then they never ever come up again, and they marry, and they have the same wife and the same kids for 33 years, and they're not even accused of a bench warrant for not paying a parking ticket.
Okay, so
how many times has that happened?
So here is the only thing that keeps coming to my mind, is I do know people who are very religious, who are legalistic, who will look at the letter of the law. It's why when he says, I never bought her anyone a drink under 18, he's crystal clear on that. I never did this with somebody who was, you know, 14 or 15. 16, well, yeah. I mean, he is the letter of the law. So I don't have a hard time believing that he was dating 16, 17, and 18-year-olds, which I find distasteful, but not illegal. I do have a hard time believing the rape or the 14-year-old. I could be swayed off of that easily. I have no idea. But I think it's because he's a legalistic, moral guy. He has made his sharp black lines and he leaves it at that.
I think that's possible. I think right now a lot of things are possible. I think there's only real two outcomes here. Either this guy is the greatest liar, and Glenn, if you've been a conservative activist in the Republican Party for an hour, you've been lied to by the best, okay?
An hour and 10 minutes.
let alone 10 years, okay? Yeah. I've had men your audience knows household names look me in the eye in my own home and lie to me, okay? So
yeah.
This guy's better than any of them. And that is just something I don't even want to contemplate. And I don't want to contemplate the alternative either, which is, frankly, you know, this is a demonic takedown of a man, unlike anything I've ever seen in politics. I think that's why so many people are sickened by it, because there isn't a middle. We love our middle grounds. We love to break in the night before Starfleet Academy and reprogram the Kobayashi Maru. We don't like no-win scenarios. But this one is, this guy is one of the worst sociopaths in modern American politics, where this is one of the most demonic takedowns of a man we've ever witnessed before. And that's not a good conclusion, no matter which one it turns out to be.
Talking to Steve Dace, and I think if you're listening to this, you get the sense, and I think this was important, that this is not a partisan Breitbart level defense of Roy Moore. This is a nuanced, thoughtful defense of Moore. And I think it's important to hear that side of it. Steve, you make a lot of really good points on a sort of circumstantial case. But you know, there are people that have dark things in their history. These things are possible. Mm-hmm. Were you satisfied by the defense he has presented, including the Sean Hannity interview, his public statements since? I think some of those things have caused me pause that if I were a defender, I don't know that I would be happy with the way he's talked about it since the accusations came out.
I have not monitored these things on a regular basis. And the reason why is because I know him. And so I know that he is not a great communicator. He has an odd persona in that normally the man that is the staunch line person that Glenn just described normally is a powerful orator and a powerful personality. He's actually not that at all. If you go back and watch the one-on-one debate he had with Luther Strange, he's actually pretty homespun. He's not great off the cuff. He wouldn't be a good talk show host, for example. I mean, the reason why he memorized the Constitution, the Declaration of the Independence, is because that way he wouldn't have to recall it. All right. So I think for people that are getting their first look at him on a personality basis, I would caution them, just as someone that's been around him a lot in a private setting, not to read too much into that yay or nay, because that's just not what he's good at. He's never going to, if he got elected, he'd never dazzle you on Meet the Press or
Steve,
anything of that nature.
Have you talked to him personally since?
I have. Yeah, as I wrote in my piece, I did not go after him for a reaction because I wanted to examine things without being tainted by a personal relationship. And I didn't write this, but I'll tell you guys this. I frankly wanted to see if he would come to me. And he did. And he did call me a few days ago. If he's lying, it's the greatest liar I've ever encountered. But I was actually more impressed with the wife. You know, one of the things I've seen in my career is I always tell people when I'm vetting candidates, or you are, always check the spouse, male or female, always check the spouse. They know.
Yep.
They've seen him when their knickers are down, figuratively and literally. And if the wife and kids are not involved, if they're silent, okay, particularly when their man or woman is in battle, that's always a bad. I can't think of a time in my career that has not been a bad sign. And she is in full throat. Tammy Wynette, fire up the stand by your man, as defiant as you can possibly get. So,
and so was Hillary.
Make a question. Why? But here's the difference. That's why I go to look at this period of time. The Clintons had decades of things. Where's the Whitewater, Glenn? Where's the Rose Law Firm? Where is all the? So you're telling me he essentially he was a sexual predator, a sociopath from 1975 to about 1982, and then just shut it down and went on with the rest of his life. And so
Steve, will you give me this, that it's feasible that he grew up in Alabama, which was different, and it was legal to date a 16, 17, and 18-year-old. He was a gentleman with the ladies and, you know, the children, I think, but legal. And he didn't see anything wrong with that. He always asked the mom, and he was always a gentleman. When they wanted to go home, they went home. And the charges of the 14-year-old and the rape are wrong, but the 16, 17, and 18-year-old is correct.
I think I have tried not to get it with alternative theories. In fact, I've tested people with them.
30 seconds.
But do I think in the South, particularly in that time period, women lined their daughters up with a man that just got out of West Point as early as possible? Do I think that's possible? Yeah, I think it's possible.
Okay. Steve Dace, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Host of the Steve Dace Show, and it's on CRTV, and you should read him. Follow him at stevedace.com. Casper has outdone themselves again. Tanya and I were one of the first to have the new Wave mattress from Casper. They collected 3 years of data, feedback, foam research, and sleep science in creating the Wave. It is patent-pending support system that mirrors your body's natural curvature, so it allows you to sleep deeper. That's important because your body can't restore itself without a deep, deep sleep.
I have a body curvature. It's getting larger and larger around the stomach area, I've noticed.
Yeah, the wave doesn't. Mm-hmm. Uh-uh. That's not a natural wave. Anyway, like the original, the Wave is designed from breathable foam so you can sleep cool year-round. It is a complete breakthrough, especially for people who have pain. I love it. But try it out in your own home for 100 nights. Don't take my word for it. Do your own homework. They will send it to you for free shipping, and they will pick it up and return it for free. So you're not out anything. They will refund every penny without a question asked. All you have to do is try it out for yourself. Casper.com. Use the promo code Beck. You could save $75 on your purchase with the promo code Beck at Casper.com. Minimum purchase required. See site for details. Terms and conditions do apply.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
The Martyr's Oath. We are living at a time of great martyrs, and the world isn't even taking note. CNN started an investigation on slavery in the Middle East, and they were shocked and horrified to find that this is going on. It's been going on for a long, 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 long time, and it's really bad with ISIS. Johnny Moore has met these people firsthand. We're going to share that next.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
So, how many more hits can Roy Moore absorb before he drops out of the Senate race? Last night, the RNC withdrew its financial support of Moore's campaign. Also yesterday, Paul Ryan called for Moore to withdraw from the race, and Mitch McConnell said if he was elected, Moore would face an immediate ethics committee investigation. Now, I was surprised that the Senate still had one of those, but apparently they do. Moore tweeted that the, quote, fight has just begun, end quote, and that McConnell's days were numbered. He used the catchy hashtag Ditch Mitch. Moore's wife, Kayla, has been using Facebook to try to defend her man. She shared her story yesterday, claiming the Old Hickory restaurant, where one of the alleged sexual assaults by Roy took place, didn't even exist. A few minutes of research in an old-fashioned establishment called the Town Library, however, confirmed that the restaurant, in fact, did exist. Mrs. Moore also shared a letter signed by 53 pastors urging people to vote for Roy. The letter praises Moore for things like his immovable convictions for biblical principles. That's good, right? Not so much. The letter was written in August, and Mrs. Moore's repost left out the date, implying that the endorsement is current. So far, three pastors have said, could you please remove my name from that list? Despite the circus, Moore still leads his Democratic opponent, Doug Jones, by 6 points. The fact that Moore is still ahead tells us exactly what's wrong with our politics. And it's not that Moore is guilty, yet still in the race. It's because we don't know that he's guilty for a fact. We believe these women's stories, but we don't know for certain that he did these things. Our problem is a total lack of consistency on the left and the right. Listen to what Jake Tapper said about this on CNN.
The accusers of Bill Clinton back in the 90s were never given the credence and treated with the same respect that these women are being treated. And I think that there is something to be said about how society has evolved since then. But in addition, it's hard not to look back at that period and think, you know what, the media treated those women poorly.
Did I slip through a wormhole? Is this a parallel universe, or did I just hear a journalist actually speak the truth? Not a surprise, it's Jake Tapper. Was it that hard for someone on the left to admit this? Apparently so. Where's everybody else? In the 1990s, Bill Clinton's accusers described events that had happened within the previous 10 to 20 years. Roy Moore's accusers are talking about things that happened 40 years ago. Why then have the Moore allegations received nearly an instant acceptance, even though the allegations are twice as old? Again, I find the Moore accusers believable, and I don't think the Facebook post from his wife is helping. But we have to be consistent on both sides of the aisle. As I said yesterday, the minute the left decides, you know what, Bill Clinton is a predator, and they say it out loud and they distance themselves from the Clintons, I believe they're serious. But if we don't become consistent, we're lying. We're lying to ourselves. We're lying to each other. And no one will have any credibility.
It's Wednesday, November 15th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Johnny Moore, good friend of the program and the author of the book The Martyr's Oath, joins us now. He is the guy who provided the inspiration to start the Nazarene Fund, and we welcome him to the program. Hi, Johnny. How are you?
Hey, Glenn. I'm good. Good to hear your voice.
So I don't know if you saw this on CNN yesterday, but CNN is starting a series now. They've been doing an investigation for a year, and they found out that slaves are still being sold in the Middle East. They didn't touch on the Christian slaves. They just touched on the slaves in Libya. But I'm hoping that they will find the enormity of the problem soon, that it's not just happening in Libya.
Yeah, no, the situation has changed, but it hasn't improved. You know, ISIS taught these terrorists all around the world in different places new brutality, new techniques, and it persists. It's not what we were seeing, you know, the beheading of Christians on live television. Now it's back in the shadows. But in Nigeria alone, you know, Boko Haram, which pledged its allegiance to ISIS, I mean, they killed more Christians last year than ISIS did in Syria. I mean, this is still a very, very intense situation. Not to mention, you know, these communities still need to be rebuilt. You know, and Glenn, I got to tell you, I mean, I was thinking really, really small until I got on your radio program. You know, and because of the Nazarene Fund and your vision and your voice, I mean, a lot of people were helped, but we can't let up now. There's a lot of work that needs to be done.
So, Johnny, you went over, and this is kind of what your book is about. You went over with kind of a comfortable Christian attitude, an American Christian attitude, and you met these people who are living. We are seeing first century kind of persecution of Christians. They are now the most persecuted people on earth, and nobody's even talking about it. And you saw it firsthand, and it kind of shook you to your core, did it not?
No, it changed me. I mean, I totally changed my lifestyle. I changed my job. I changed how I was investing my time. I mean, I could not have a good answer to this question. You know, what was I doing when this was happening in history? And, you know, with this latest, you know, book, The Martyr's Oath, You know, we went around to 30 different countries, sent research teams everywhere to document the firsthand accounts of persecution. And I was even surprised at what was happening in countries I barely knew anything about. You know, and then, Glenn, we have allies like Turkey. You know, Turkey is a country where last year, you know, the director of religious affairs appointed an imam to the Hagia Sophia. The Hagia Sophia was for 1,000 years the most important church in Christianity, and it has been a museum since the fall of the Ottoman Empire. But last year, Turkey, you know, under the nose of the whole world, appointed an imam to supervise one of history's most famous Christian churches. They also confiscated 50 Christian holy sites. And so it's not just about the imprisonment and beheading and the torture and all these things, you know, the thousands of people that are affected by that. Countries like North Korea, where 70,000 Christians are in prison. It's also this subtle discrimination and prioritization and supremacy of Islam that's erupting, you know, all around the world. And we have to keep pressure on people. We have to keep telling these stories, and we got to help them too.
Tell me the stories that you found in your research.
Well, I can't get out of my head. I mean, I met a family that had fled Syria. You know, I was in a neighboring country. You know, they were sitting across the table from me. They had converted to Christianity, and because of it, their jihadist relatives in Syria were threatening their lives. They sent them a letter, and the letter literally said, "We know where you are. We're going to come find you, and we're going to crucify you like your Jesus." And I, you know, my jaw was on the floor already. But then they told me what they did. They said, "We wrote him back." They wrote the jihadist relative back, and the letter they said, "Please, please come find us. You know, we're ready to die for our Jesus, but please don't crucify us. We're not worthy to die the same death." And I just couldn't. I just didn't know a faith like that. I mean, I see it in the Bible, right? But I don't see it in our real world. And, you know, I found that as much as we've helped these people, and you know this more than anyone, Glenn. I mean, you know, this audience saved the lives of thousands and thousands and thousands of Christians. But as much as we try to help these people, I find that they help us. They show us what's really important.
Oh, time.
You know, they show us how to live because of their willingness to die.
So what causes that? Or what have we lost, Johnny, to where? Because I can't imagine, I don't know a single Christian that I think would sit down with a family and say, let's write them back and say, please, just don't crucify us like our Lord. Just, you can crucify us upside down, but we're willing to do that. But just don't put us in his category. I don't know a single person here in the United States that could sit down with a family and really say that. What happened?
Yeah,
what happened to us? Where's the disconnect?
You know, and I don't know that I could say it. And you know, and it causes me to look inside of my own heart. I mean, that, you know, in my reading of the Bible, I mean, you see a lot of this, right? I mean, the New Testament is all about persecuted people. They're either being persecuted or they're helping those who are being persecuted. And I'm just convinced that we cannot have a real faith life unless we're close to people whose faith cost them something. And this is the most subtle thing, because it gets at our character, and we don't even know it's getting at us. You know, but it changes us, and it changes us in profound ways. We don't care about truth anymore, because truth doesn't cost us anything. We don't forgive our enemies. You know, we don't forgive our political opponents, much less our enemies. You know, because, you know, we don't have to. And yet the Coptic Church, you know, which has endured terrible persecution in the last 6 months, multiple suicide bombings, a bus of children massacred, you know, and yet the Coptic pastors all across Egypt publicly said that they forgive the terrorists that killed them. I mean, it's like crazy until you read the Bible, and then it's like ever present. You know, there's a role for government, you know, it's to keep nations secure, and there's a role for the church and for people of faith, and that is by our compassion, by our service, by our testimony, we cause less problems in the world for governments to solve. You know, we work on hearts, they work on security, and our persecuted brothers and sisters, I mean, they have a faith we need to learn from. You know, Boko Haram went after this mom that we interviewed, and they were trying to behead her after they beheaded her husband and her children, and they were demanding that she say Allahu Akbar. They were trying to convert her on the spot, probably to make her one of their wives. And you know what she did, Glenn? She said to us, with a raspy voice, because she nearly died, she said, "Every time they demanded that I say Allahu Akbar, I looked back over my shoulder at them and I screamed, Jesus." She was fearless. You know, she has a real faith, and I think a lot of us sort of, you know, we have a fake faith sometimes.
Wow.
I will say, though, my iPhone X has not been delivered yet. It's been delayed, and I'm very upset about it.
He's been talking about it all day.
Mm-hmm.
So Johnny, I can't even get to the beheading part and see that kind of faith. I am I'm struggling now with faith, not my faith, but with religion. And religionists, that we don't believe in Jesus enough to turn the other cheek. We don't believe in the message of the gospel, which is what Gandhi and Bonhoeffer and Martin Luther King lived. We are escalating the trouble by not being messengers of peace. And it strikes me that we don't really believe it. We don't really believe that it works. When push comes to shove, no, it's the sword. It's not the knee.
Yeah, and it says something about us in a deep and profound place. And the only way I know how to change is to meet those people who don't have what we have. They don't have our religious freedom. They don't have our wealth and our prosperity. They don't have our security. They don't have any of these other things. But what they do have is their faith. And their faith is all that they need. You know, and this is why, you know, for 2,000 years, we've told these stories. You know, in early America, every American home had a Bible, a copy of Pilgrim's Progress, and they had Fox's Book of Martyrs. And there's no surprise that there was something unique about the Judeo-Christian foundation of this country, because it was, you know, we were close to people whose faith meant something to them. They expected they would have to sacrifice their lives, their money, their reputation, something. They would lose something if they were faithful.
And that is what this book is, The Martyr's Oath. It is a new version of Fox's Book of Martyrs. And Johnny Moore is its author. Thank you, Johnny. God bless you.
Thank you, Glenn.
You bet.
No word if I am mentioned in there for my iPhone delivery issue, but book is The Martyr's Oath by Johnny Moore, at Johnny M on Twitter, and martyrsoath.com is the book. That is an incredible, I mean, you just feel so pathetic.
You do.
If I could personalize it and be selfish and talk about making it about myself, you feel so pathetic hearing those stories, because you realize how little you sacrifice. When you want to take a stand on Twitter, you're like, I don't know if I should post this. I don't know if I should post this message about faith, because someone might hammer me. They might troll me.
I was at a doctor's office yesterday, and the doctor had Christian music on, and we started to talk, and I said, and I didn't even notice the music, and I said because I wanted to talk to him about Corinthians, something I found in Corinthians. I said, you're Christian, right? You're religious? And he said, yeah. So anyway, we started talking, and he said, you would not believe the number of people that the doctors that have come into my office and said, you should turn off this music. This is going to offend people. And he said, I just don't want to live that way. I mean, if you're really offended, go find yourself another doctor. It's not like I'm preaching. I'm in this office all day. It's what I want to listen to. If you are offended by a Christian message, then, I mean, I don't know if I want to work on you anyway.
It happens occasionally down here in Texas, in that you go into restaurants and there'll be, you know, the music will be like Christian music or
not a problem.
Music. And it as someone who grew up in the Northeast and who's lived in the Northeast most of my life, it is surprising. You notice
it's refreshing.
But that's exactly how I feel about it. It's refreshing.
Yeah.
You know, if I go into a Middle Eastern restaurant and they're playing Islamic music, I'm not going to be shocked about it,
right?
Right. But we are so sensitive and so worried about offending everybody.
Stop it.
And this is the last place you should be worried about it.
Yes. When emergencies happen, our thoughts and prayers go to those affected. But do we take action to make sure that we don't find ourselves in a similar situation? When we plan for emergencies, we are in control of the effect the emergency has on each of us. It's not complicated to prepare, especially if you are looking for food supply. I remember my first food supply, we had MREs. Oh my gosh. I remember telling Tanya, there's no way I'm going to eat this stuff. I mean, it has to be nuclear winter outside before I eat this stuff. And so we had a few boxes of MREs, which we don't have anymore, because we found My Patriot Supply. This is really good food that some might say that I have opened up and eaten when my wife wasn't around. So because it was really yummy food and I only had to add water. I'm just saying, some would say that. I would say that's untrue because I want to make sure we have an emergency supply for real emergencies. So you can start right now with 102 servings of really good food for only $99, less than a dollar per serving. Call 800-271-63, or you can order online at preparewithglenn.com. Be prepared now. Ship free to your home, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, 102 servings for less than a dollar per serving. 800-271-63, or order online at preparewithglenn.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Interesting little intersection of feelings, emotions, and principles happening on Twitter, as they sometimes do. Kim tweets, "Hey Stu, shut the F up about the iPhone 10. I'm trying to listen about Christian martyrs." And I will say,
she did not.
She actually spelled out the F word in her attempt to get closer to Christianity on the radio. It's an interesting approach, I grant you.
If that's not America,
that's a microcosm of this country.
It is what's happening to us right now. Stab that guy and get him to shut up. I'm trying to get close to the Lord.
Can you imagine the thought process you go through when you're hearing this? Here's this story about all these people who are doing amazing things. The people who are like, I got a letter from a terrorist. And look, they took the time to write it, so I'm going to respond and say, hey, come on over whenever you want. If you need to kill us, this is our address, yeah. And I know you know it because you sent us this mail, but we want to make sure you know we're here.
Right.
This isn't an empty house. Come on
come
over.
Come on over.
You're hearing that story. Imagine. Then you get a three-second reprieve from all these people being murdered in the Middle East from a dumb iPhone joke. And your response is to go to such anger about your love for Christianity that you scream the F word at a stranger.
We are on the edge. We're just on the edge. Have you seen Ryan Hamilton, his special on Netflix?
No, I don't think I have. Yeah,
I'm gonna find it. We have to play a piece of it because he's from Idaho and he's living in New York.
I think I have seen part of this.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
And he's in Idaho. He lives in New York and he just doesn't look at things the same way. And it is exactly that. Mm. Exactly that. Back in just a second.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. So glad you're here. Could we just spend a few minutes personally on something? Just a personal note. If you are a longtime fan of mine, you may know the. If you've watched me over the last year, I think I've had a lot of people say, "You're not happy." And I'm like, I'm really not. I'm really not. For multiple reasons, and this has been really a long, tough 5 years for me, for a myriad of reasons, and some things have happened in my personal life that have made getting up every morning and do this really difficult, and my perspective has changed,
and I have been struggling. I'm not a businessman, and I have been struggling for a very long time with trying to have a vision of something and then having other people execute it. And me doing, you know, 4 hours of broadcast a day doesn't leave you a lot of time to run a company. And so I have tried not to. And about 8 months ago, I decided, you know, it's just not going to work unless it's my vision all the time and I'm in charge. And so about 8 months ago, I started really kind of learning my own business and figuring out where everything is. And about August, I brought our CFO in and I said, okay, I think somebody's embezzling because there's no way. I'm looking at these numbers and there's no way we're making this crap for that amount of money. And I tracked it all down to every dime and I'm like, wow, no, we're just really bad at it. So around August, we made some changes in the programming and I made changes here. And then ran into some headwinds with me, and I went on vacation. When was that? September. And I spent the week with my family up in the woods, and we just talked. And what's important? And what are we going to do? And I had some people that wanted to buy everything. And I didn't, and my contract was coming to an end for radio. My contract ends on January 1st. And, I hadn't renewed, my contract. And I sat back and made a list of all the things that I wanted to do and didn't want to do, and what was important to me. And then I flew in a couple of, good friends of mine, you know, billionaire businessmen, and said, it can't be this hard. And here's what my gut says. They said, well, your gut's right. So I had to decide that week whether I was going to, retire and go to the woods or if I was going to, really make changes in my life in a myriad of areas. Today, I can announce a press release was just sent out. Premier Radio Networks and Mercury Radio Arts, Glenn Beck's multimedia production company, has announced today a renewed and extended agreement to syndicate the Glenn Beck program. As the premiere celebrates the 15th anniversary of the Glenn Beck program in national syndication this year, its audience of millions continues to grow across radio, digital, and podcasting platforms. The program has experienced year-over-year audience gains in markets including Los Angeles, San Francisco, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Denver, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Columbus, Norfolk, and Memphis in key demographics. I've just signed another 5-year contract to do this radio program, and I made a commitment to myself in September that I was only going to do the things that I am good at and that my company is only going to do the things that we are good at. And we're not good at an awful lot, but we are going to make some changes. You know, that doesn't mean employees or anything else. It means everything that I have already told the employees that we're doing, we're making changes. And it is a new era for me in January 2018. I have spent a lot of time this fall thinking about what matters most. And what matters most is my family, my children. I don't know how to teach my children. I don't know how to teach my children. I don't know how to be the man that I want to be in this society. I don't know how to teach my son how to be the man he wants to be in this society. I'm doing my best, but there is no outpost for honor and integrity and men being men. There is no place that is an outpost that is trying to teach things that I don't even know. I don't know. The most valuable thing I could teach my children right now is to be open-minded and to not, to be intellectually humble, to expect that change is going to be the biggest constant in their entire life. I don't know anyone who is teaching about the future and the things that we have coming our way. I want to thank you for the last 15 years. They have been remarkable. And as Stu said to me earlier, I can't believe we've lasted this long. I would have never guessed it. We are the least likely to be successful. And we're only successful because of you. And I mean that sincerely. I can't thank you enough for putting up with me and putting up with my own personal journey. Everybody else seems to have their crap together. I'm not one of them. I have times when my crap is together, and I have just experienced a 5-year period where, for the life of me, I have not been able to get a handle on life. I thank God that I have a good wife by my side and children who I am closer to than ever before. Now let's go get to work. So Business Insider was quoting Jim Rogers. He is a he's a huge investor, and everybody listens to his advice. And he said everybody should have coins, physical coins, as an insurance policy, as an emergency, if nothing else. This is the biggest misunderstanding, I think, of gold. He said, I hope you never need them, but you have to start by owning gold coins, coins that are recognized all over the world. People look at gold as an investment, and in today's world where everything is upside down and the market is just growing and growing and growing, everybody, every investor will tell you, oh, you got to be in the market. Okay, be in the market. But where is your hedge? Where is that thing that just is stable and is never going away? That thing is gold. And what he's saying is, everyone should have it, and I'm quoting, as insurance. What does that mean? Insurance that the world has gone insane. Insurance that what the central banks are doing that has never been done successfully ever in history, that this time it is not different than all of the thousands of times it's been tried throughout history. You need insurance for that. That's why I have Goldline. Goldline, the only place I buy gold. I trust them. I believe in them. They're good, decent people. They have great people on the phone that are going to take your phone call. They don't want you to make a decision right now, right now. They want you to read their risk information. They want you to be completely informed. They're more transparent. They're going to tell you the worst of everything. They're more transparent than anybody else that is selling the insurance policy of gold. Goldline, right now, they are offering free gift cards on qualified purchases and a 1 year of free storage on IRA purchases. So call them now. They're even going to send you a flag lapel pin just for calling because they know who you are. Goldline, call 1-866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE, or goldline.com.
Glenn Beck.
So Stu got a
tweet. We were talking to Johnny Moore about his book, The Martyr's Oath, where he's talking about these amazing Christians who are saying, you know, to the terrorist, go ahead and behead me. I won't say Allah Akbar. These just heroes. And a woman tweets him and says,
she says, let's see, I'm pulling it back up here. Shut the F up about the iPhone 10 trying to listen about Christian martyrs.
Right. So because he butts in and makes a joke about the iPhone 10.
Yeah.
You know, and his big concern. And
I found the side by side of screaming on Twitter the F word fully spelled out.
Right.
To a stranger while asking for deeper coverage of the perils of Christianity in the
yeah,
Middle East.
It was
a strange side by side.
So I saw a comedy special on Netflix that you have to watch with your family. It is hysterical, especially if you've ever even been to New York. It's called Ryan Hamilton, and it's Happy Face. And he's a stand-up comedian. He'll remind you a lot of Seinfeld at his very best. He is a guy who grew up in a town of about 400 people in Idaho, and he moved to Hell's Kitchen. So he's a little of a fish out of water, a little bit. And he has this Idaho mentality in New York City. And he talks about, you know, how he just doesn't understand the culture of New York City, for instance. Like when he ran into a drug dealer and saw a drug dealer across the street.
I never get offered drugs. I know I have that look about me, but I was standing on the street corner. There's this guy on the other side of the street, and he gives me one of these head nods, you know? Where I'm from, that means, how's your crop doing? And I'm a friendly guy, so I gave him one back. I said, my crops are fine. And he walked over and he flashed me this handful, these little white pills. And he said, hey, man, you want some of the good stuff? I didn't know what to say. It kind of caught me off guard, right? Here's what Idaho boy was thinking. Don't be rude. That's what went through my head. Don't be rude to a drug dealer. I felt like I was turning down dessert after Grandma baked me a big pie, you know? Oh, no, thanks. I just had a big batch of ecstasy for lunch. I'm fine.
Ryan Hamilton, Happy Face, special you have to see on Netflix. He is, I think he's my new favorite comedian.
It's a really funny spot. I actually had seen good chunks of that. It's very funny.
Gosh, it's funny. Start to finish.
So I was interested in this Roy Moore thing with the legal letter they sent.
Oh, is this the one that looks like it was almost a Mad Lib?
Yeah, kind
it's
of.
Like, I don't know if somebody redlined it and they were blind or what happened.
Yeah. But it doesn't make sense in the language we speak.
No.
Very often. Here's some David French had some excerpts from it. Your client, as an entity, has also carelessly and perhaps allowed general slander and libel to the reputation of my clients by seeking out and or reporting from those who did individuals who falsely portray the reputation of Roy Moore in Northeast Alabama. It's a jumble,
it's
but okay, clunky.
Clunky.
Just clunky.
Yeah, it's clunky.
Goes on. Your client's organization, this is from Roy Moore's attorneys to media organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Your client's organization has made and or supported defaming statements. This is due to the careless and or intentionally refused to advance the truth regarding our clients.
Wait, what?
This is due to the careless and or intentionally refused to advance the truth regarding our clients. Like, it's like they wrote two sentences and then corrected them.
It is
and
like
put it in the wrong
a
tense.
Blind man was redlining the lawsuit.
Right.
You know, you always get redline stuff back from your attorney and they're like, I redlined that. I want to change a few things. It's like somebody just arbitrarily just went, I'm going to redline this.
It is. And there's like different tenses throughout. We also believe that your client, by and through its agents, have damaged our clients by being careless in how they handle headlines and report the contextual of the allegations. Like the context?
Maybe they merged two right. documents.
Yeah, it kind of feels that way. This is another one. Meaning your client has used terms in reports maliciously or carelessly, which has falsely portraying our clients. Now, which has falsely portrayed our clients, right? Which is falsely portraying our clients. I mean, it goes on and on and on. It's just, it's very strange coming from an attorney to make all these mistakes. Coming, I guess maybe they rushed it.
Yeah, coming from a DA. Yeah. Coming from a DA, right. His firm is representing him that way. It is a little... A little surprising.
Yeah, it's not Roy's fault, I guess. It's just very... They want to change firms.
Glenn Beck.
For, what, 8 years now, we've been talking about Liberty Safes. They're the best safes on the market. You know that probably by now. What a great time to get one is the holiday season. It's a cool gift that you wouldn't necessarily think about buying somebody. It's something different and cool, and also it benefits you if it's in your home. They have a 12-month interest-free financing, but starting today, November 16th, Liberty Safe is offering 18 months interest-free on all safes over $850. Plus, they are putting on sale all Fatboy safes, including the Extreme models, saving you an additional $550. I have a safe at my house that's a Liberty. It's fantastic. They offer a lifetime warranty, dealers who deliver, and now 18 months interest-free payments or low as $20 a month on approved credit. They are the best deals of the year and the best safes on the planet. They also have them at Cabela's. Liberty Safes on sale for Black Friday. Go to libertysafe.com. It's libertysafe.com.
Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
Yesterday on the radio, people heard this. This is not a military takeover. I repeat, this is not a military takeover. That's what the Zimbabwe Defense Forces announced yesterday when their military vehicles and more than 100 troops crowded the capital and at least 3 explosions were set off. Robert Mugabe's army explained that they were only targeting criminals around Mugabe who are committing crimes that are causing social and economic suffering in the country, and they're just trying to bring justice. Yeah, probably a military takeover. The turmoil within Mugabe's army comes after the 93-year-old dictator, who I thought was dead long ago, many people wish he were, fired his deputy and longtime ally. This happened last week. That guy had the military support. The deputy was next in line to run the country in the event, and it's never going to happen, of Mugabe's death. When he was swiftly dismissed, Mugabe appointed his wife to that role instead. Now, that usually is a big no-no, within unstable dictatorships. It's kind of like dictatorship 101. You don't willy-nilly appoint your wife to the next highest position at the last minute and screw your friends over and don't expect some tanks to be rolling your way. For 37 years, Mugabe has ruled supreme without a whisper of a military coup. But it looks like that's about to change, finally. Maybe this will be a good thing. I have to imagine anyone overthrowing Robert Mugabe could do a better job for Zimbabwe, but I could be wrong. There's always a bigger monster. A spokesman for the Zimbabwe Defense Forces announced that as soon as we accomplish our mission, we expect the situation to return to normalcy. The problem is, the people of Zimbabwe have never known normalcy. Whatever the Zimbabwe Defense Forces' idea of normal is, most likely, it is nowhere close to the normal that we know.
It's Wednesday, November 15th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
We were talking about a TED Talk, about a month ago, that was A Black Man Goes Undercover in the Alt-Right. And his name is Theo E.J. Wilson. And we had him on, a couple of weeks ago, and wanted to continue the conversation because it was an uncomfortable conversation. Not that it was unpleasant. It was just not an easy conversation because we're a million miles away from each other in some areas. But we need to start listening to each other and learning from each other and building bridges towards each other. And I really firmly believe if you haven't been out of your comfort zone in the last 7 days, you're not growing. You have to be put into uncomfortable situations. You look for them. So we wanted to have Theo back and continue our conversation. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hey, how you doing today, Glenn?
Good. So I wanted to start here. I wanted to see if we could spend just, 10 minutes and just try to find any common ground on some things that are happening today. For instance, this new thing, which I think is a good thing overall, of outing the sexual predators.
Mm-hmm.
Is a little frightening because it could easily get out of control because we are not asking really for evidence. It's only an accuser stand up. They're reported in the press and in the case of the Amazon head, fired. No questions asked. And it's happening to both the left and the right. And I don't know how we're going to navigate in a world where there is no due process.
Correct. It's a simple situation where we are looking at a backlash of a subculture, or should I say an undercurrent in regular culture, where we don't contemplate how our actions as men and the power games that we play have affected women for such a long time. We have been the ones on their necks silently, and this has been status quo. The power that we hold as men tends to be a power that we do not question until something like this goes on. I believe that there will have to be like a due process at some point in time, because that's how we've set up our legal system. Like, there's no way around this. But I don't know what to make of it at this point. I was talking to a friend yesterday, and I was saying to her, this is something that is seem like it's a manifestation of something that has been brewing and stirring for quite some time.
Yes.
Where it will end, I don't know. I just know that we often don't realize the kind of fear that we put into women because of how we operate. And, anybody who works at a domestic violence shelter will tell you the number one threat to a woman's life is a man. So could this turn into a witch hunt? Yeah. Have women felt witch hunted for quite some time? Yeah. So is there justice in this? That remains to be seen. That fully remains to be seen. This is new territory, man.
So Theo, are we a collective or are we individuals? Because, I will agree with you that, we don't necessarily see this, this plight going on. We don't see the struggle, I guess, that some women, are having, but also I will tell you that, in my own life, I do everything I can to be gracious and kind. And I'm sure I make mistakes and everything else. But I am a big advocate for women. And, we've as a family have done a lot for, battered women shelters and everything else on a personal basis, because I grew up in a home of abuse. So are we collective? I mean, do men are men responsible for this, are men responsible or is man responsible for this?
You know what? I think about this often. I am a heterosexual man. I deal with women. I date women. I've never violated a woman, never taken from them, never raped. That is not a part of any iota of my makeup.
Right. Have you ever like somebody just said the other day and they tried to dismiss it? Well, I mean, I will be a little more aggressive if they're nervous. Well, no.
That's a bad move.
Okay. Yeah. That's really, no.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I have to pay the cost in my dating life for what other men have done. This culture likes to say that, you know, we're all individuals, but in fact, what is a human being? Human beings are like ants. You can't tell the power of human beings until you see us together. We are a collective to a certain degree, man. Like, what the heck is the use of language? We have context. We have a group think that we are all subject to called culture. This is what we are raised in. We are raised in a milieu of circumstances that give us our worldview, and as a race and as a gender, you name it. So though I've never stepped afoul of a woman in that way, I have to realize that women are stepped on all the time.
Correct.
And so to a certain extent, if I want to deal with women, I must deal with what women go through. And a man who is committed to being a good man, figure out how I can do my part to remedy the situation. But I can't ask to be just immediately separated from the group that I belong to just because I haven't done anything wrong.
Right. You know what I mean? Look at it this way. I know this to be true in my own life because when I first started dating my now wife, she had dated some real dirtbags, and the damage that had been done to her, it was just remarkable. And I know, I said to her at one point, I'm not those guys. I'm not that guy. And she said, I know that. I know that. But it took her a long time, and I had to really go out of my way to prove I'm not that kind of guy. You know, and so I understand that. But aren't we also creating a culture where we are just lumping all, because I don't believe, Theo, that most men are like this. I think there's a lot of men, but I don't think most men are like that. And shouldn't we be extolling the good guys too? Shouldn't we be saying, hey, there's a lot of really good guys out there, and this is how the good guys behave?
I think that you run a risk in that point, because at the moment that somebody comes to you wounded and broken, if you start, extolling virtues and saying that we're not all like that, in a way you dismiss their pain. You have to be careful of that, you know. And one of the things that, you know, just in basic, like, facilitation training, you know, when I underwent mine, it was like you have to make immediate space for somebody's wounds at the moment that they sent them to you. You just have to do that. If you want to maintain any sense of civility and compassion for that person, you have to make sure that they're heard when they're hurting.
Right. So I'm not suggesting that you would say that to somebody who is coming to you, etc. I'm talking about, for instance, in my position, every day I'm facing somebody else that is being outed as an abuser. I haven't called for anybody's resignation. I don't want to defend anyone because I don't know. I just do want to say that not all men are like that. Some are, and we have to stop it. But at the same time, we have to be cautious of witch hunts because it can get out of control to where once you've set the precedence that somebody can just accuse you of something and your career is over.
It's over,
It's dangerous.
Oh, yeah. I think that there will be a time for that. I think that there will be a time for us to, like, there has to be a time for that. I'm not sure if this is the time, but there will be a time for that to say, listen, man, due process is a thing, because there are also female predators. Like, there are women who will take advantage of men in drunken situations. And, you know, especially if you're a star, somebody, you know, like many guys who are famous and rich are seen as prey items by women who are in search of the next meal ticket. So, and there have been manipulations of condoms, there have been manipulations of alcohol, you name it. Things that involve ecstasy that I've heard of from certain star athletes and movie stars. So there is a conversation. I'm not sure if right now is the time for it. Do we run the risk of a witch hunt? Yes. I'm not sure that we can stand in front of this tide right now without getting swallowed by it. You might, like all waves, it has to reach its crest and it has to recede. And that's what it seems like is going on right now. But I think I do not think that we have to worry that we're never going to have due process and we're never going to have the defense of decent men again. I don't think that we're in those waters.
So let me see if I can find any common ground here. So far, I think we have common ground on this. Let me move this politically here. Roy Moore has been accused of stuff, and I could see it. You know, I could see it both ways. I happen to believe the accusers. I don't happen to believe him. The same thing happened with Bill Clinton. I believed the accusers. I didn't believe him. I'm consistent. I said the same thing, that a man can't compartmentalize something that is really a flaw in his character and then be, you know, not flawed elsewhere in his life. That trait is a pretty big, important character trait. Mm-hmm. I will believe the left is serious about this when they say, okay, yes, Roy Moore, but you know what? We need to reexamine, and that guy's a predator too, and we didn't say that, but we should now.
You mean Bill Clinton?
Yes.
Well, I've heard people call Bill Clinton a predator on the left before. I think that it's kind of a known fact at this point. Bill Clinton's predatory behavior has a history decades long. And it's kind of like public knowledge now. I think that if you look at the left, the way that they went after Harvey Weinstein, man, like the way that they let Harvey Weinstein hang for his crimes is kind of proof to me that this was not a partisan situation. This was written about somewhere, I believe, on CNN.com right after the Harvey Weinstein story broke, where and I really am not good at telling names right now who wrote this article, but it is there. How Harvey Weinstein's fall in Hollywood, a leftist, by the way, was tied to the left not being willing to just be a hypocrite. That when we see predation on any front, we have to go for it, including Mr. Weinstein. I mean, by the way, you know, there's a lot of evidence toward what happened with Harvey. I don't think this is as much of a partisan issue.
No.
As it is. Yeah.
That one's a little over. That one's really overwhelming.
Rape is rape regardless.
Yeah.
What political party you belong to. You know
right.
I mean?
Right.
How did he make any movies? How did he even have time? That's all he did.
Yeah.
So, Theo, I've got to run, and I'm sorry, because I enjoy our conversations, but I think we can find the common ground here that no matter which side it is, we have to be consistent and say this is more important than politics. Would you agree with that?
I think so. I think this is a human issue.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Theo E.J. Wilson.
Check out Theo E.J. Wilson's stuff at TheoEJWilson.com and see his TED Talk. Check it out if you haven't seen it. It's a black man goes undercover in the alt-right.
And he doesn't agree with anything. I mean, I don't think we have a lot in common.
Well, I mean, he just did.
Yeah,
I think he just showed there is a lot
I
there.
I really want to talk to him about ongoing slavery next time he's on and pick his brain on that. Shopping online has a plus, but it also comes with risks. And if you are planning on doing any holiday shopping, I want you to make sure that you have done a couple of things. First of all, make sure you're on a secure internet connection. Don't use a hotspot. That's easy way to lose all of your information. Make sure the site that you're on has a payment method that is secure, credit cards, gift cards. Create a strong password. And then before you do anything, make sure you have LifeLock. LifeLock is a system of proprietary technology that looks and monitors as much as anybody humanly possible can or, you know, a computer possible. They monitor as much as they can, and they're looking for different things. I mean, if you're just doing credit monitoring, that's not enough. Because if somebody takes your identity, they can now open up and take loans out in your name. They can commit crimes in your name.
So they're looking for all kinds of threats. Nobody can, you know, monitor all transactions or, you know, follow everything at all businesses. But LifeLock is the best. And here's why. They not only alert you if there is a problem, they have somebody here in the U.S. that is actually going to take it on with you, because I have no idea how to fix it, but they do. LifeLock.com, 1-800-LifeLock. Use the promo code Beck. Use the promo code Beck and you'll get 10% off your LifeLock membership. It's critical that you do this before you do all the holiday shopping, please. LifeLock.com, promo code Beck, and save 10% right now.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Friend of mine sent me an audio clip yesterday from Colin Cowherd. I've got to get this guy on. He's a sports host. And this is what he had to say about Colin Kaepernick and being the man of the year in GQ, or citizen of the year.
How's the magazine industry doing?
Terrible.
Not well.
Okay, so that's established. So let me ask you, here are their people of the year. Which way is Stephen Colbert lean?
Left.
Kaepernick?
Left.
Durant?
Don't know.
Left.
Probably left.
The
He's
Warriors.
In with Silicon Valley.
Yeah. Gal Gadot. Wonder Woman of the Year.
Yeah, she left, far left.
That's fine.
Yeah.
So what's the magazine industry doing in America? It's talking to the country. That's why the industry is dying. This was a political award. By the way, I'm an Obama voter. I was a Clinton voter. I was a Reagan voter. I consider myself a social liberal, a fiscal conservative. But this is why the magazine industry is out of business. Why Sports Illustrated, which I grew up, that was the magazine. More than my local newspaper, it's dead. Why? We have a country now that speaks to half the people, the publishing business, the newspaper industry. By the way, you want to know why the Fox News Channel does okay and makes $1 billion a year? Because it's the one place conservatives feel speaks for them. That's why the liberal channels slice and dice the audience and the conservatives go to one channel. I mean, this to me is just a political statement.
Absolutely true.
Totally right on that.
Absolutely true. And spoken just calmly and rationally, and they still don't get it. The people in New York still don't get it. In fact, I think they had the opportunity to get it, and I think the Donald Trump thing, instead of opening their eyes, made them more hardened. I really believe it.
Glenn Beck. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
CNN issued a report yesterday that I thought was remarkable. They're covering actual news, but they approach this story oddly, as if they found this hard to believe, that there is slavery happening in the Middle East. Listen.
Our contacts are telling us that there are 1 to 2 of these auctions every month, and that there is one happening in the next few hours. So we're going to head out of town and see if we can get some sort of access to it.
For the safety of our contacts, we have agreed not to divulge the location of this auction. But the town we're driving to isn't the only one. We're ushered into 1 of 2 auctions happening on this same night. Crouched at the back of the yard, a floodlight obscuring much of the scene. One by one, men are brought out as the bidding begins. 400. 500. 550. 600.
Okay. You know what would be interesting? This is CNN, and they're showing the men in Libya that are being auctioned off, and they are amazed by this. CNN, we can make your life really easy. We can have you interview 97 people that were used as ISIS slaves that our teams went in and rescued. In fact, we just got 2 more, and we are looking for another 17 right now. The slave trade is alive and well. And they're showing the auction of human beings and acting as though this is really rare. Now, we can wait for, the people like CNN to expose it, and then we can have a hashtag campaign. or you can help us actually rescue people through the Nazarene Fund. We have an announcement coming this Saturday at our gala event. And we are doubling down. We'll tell you about it on Monday, here on the radio, but we are serious about the slave trade, in the Middle East, and we really could use your help. Our gala is happening on Saturday, and we always do something like this to raise money, for our, for to keep the lights on. I do a big benefit thing, and Chuck Norris is coming this weekend. If you want to come to the M1 ball, you can. Tickets, I think, are $100 or $150 a plate. And all the proceeds go to help keep the doors open, keep the insurance paid, keep the lawyers happy, and run the phones, so we can then take every dollar and pour it directly to these rescuing these people. So if you could help us out, go to mercuryone.org/M1ball. Buy a raffle ticket. You could win a brand new truck. If you don't want the truck, you can trade it in for the cash. It's brand new GMC. It's beautiful. And you have a pretty good shot of winning. You don't have to be present to win. Grab a raffle ticket. You can bet on whose armadillo is going to win. We're going to have an armadillo race. Or you can come, or just donate money if you'd like. mercuryone.org/M1ball. Mr. Pat Gray from Pat Gray Unleashed is with us now. Hello, Pat.
What's the hashtag I use to stop slavery?
Me want to help too.
Okay. All right, and then that ends it, right?
Yeah,
if you put the hashtag out, they can't do it anymore. Yeah.
Well, also, if you have to add on the hashtag, please consider having less slaves.
Okay.
That's another one.
Yeah,
you've got to make sure you get both
hashtag
of those in there.
Please consider having less slaves.
Yeah. Please consider returning our children.
Oh, that was an actual real one.
Wait, was it?
Yeah,
it didn't really work. Yeah. So anyway.
Mattel has a new doll out, and it's about time. It's a hijab wearing doll.
Oh, my
doll.
Gosh. I've been waiting for the new hijab.
For the new hijab. It's in, I guess it's in honor of Olympic fencer Ibtihaj Muhammad.
Now, and I love Ibtihaj Muhammad.
Well, who doesn't?
So this is out perfect. It's just out in time for Christmas.
Just in time for Christmas, or I'm not sure if it's in time for Ramadan. Sometimes it is.
Sometimes it's not.
Sometimes it's already happened by now. Sometimes it's coming up.
Right.
So it's either in time or a little too late.
But I'm sure you're up to date on when it happens this year. So you could obviously determine which one it is.
You could do that.
I mean, you specifically. You could tell us right now.
I don't want to insult people who already have their Ramadan plans.
Okay.
Right. Or have celebrated and already used those Ramadan
exactly.
plans.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Right. Which category would you be in?
I'd be in the. I'm already. I've got my Ramadan stuff.
So did you?
Out.
Yeah. Okay. So are you going to get the hijab Barbie?
Anyway, yes, except for the fact that there is no Barbie car that comes with it because she's not allowed to drive.
Yeah, she can't drive,
and she can't leave the Barbie mansion without.
So is there a front door on the Barbie mansion?
No, there's not.
Yeah.
And if you pull Ken's string, he says, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, and he picks up with Malibu Barbie afterwards.
Right.
So it should be a good Christmas gift.
Right. Okay, good.
Or Ramadan.
Which is either
Ramadan,
coming or has already
coming
happened.
Coming or going.
Yeah,
one of the two. You just don't know which one of the two it is.
Right. Of course I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just don't want to insult
Because he's open-minded and tolerant.
All right. That's right.
You don't want to insult people who have Ramadan plans,
That's right. Here's how open-minded I am. I think that the woman who just got thrown off a plane with her support pig probably has a case against American Airlines. Yes.
You know, what kind of world do we live? What kind of world do we live in?
A woman brought a support pig on a plane, and they said, "Okay, well, it's for my emotional support. It's an emotional support pig." Oh,
wait a minute. Wait a minute. Did it have the vest?
Yes, it did have a vest.
So if it had a vest and
but
it had the car, yes, you
can't have a pig
yes,
on a plane.
Why?
Because because this is
because you,
there's 200 other people on the plane.
So what?
And
so
their sensibilities should be considered as well. And the stench of the pig.
Oh, pigs can be clean.
Pigs can be clean.
And the pig was running around up and down the aisles. It got unruly.
That's
wait, it wasn't in a cage or anything.
No. Hang on, just a second.
Oh, okay.
That's different.
Okay.
That's different.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. I mean, if it's running around, that's different. If it's sitting on your lap. You know, I mean,
if I put a vest on a herd of cattle, can I call them an emotional support herd?
Yes. Here's the thing. You have to have a vest. And you, I know because I have two service dogs.
But that's, okay, a dog is reasonable.
Why isn't pig not?
Because
as long as it has the tag.
It's a pig.
As long as it has the tag. That means that it is qualified as a support
as
animal.
An emotional support animal.
That seems like a scam. Mm.
It does
anybody
to
can
me
buy
too.
A vest.
Come on.
No, you can buy the vest. You cannot. I mean, they're not giving out the at least when I've gotten them. Maybe it's because it's me, but you can't just go get the tags.
The Department of Homeland Security is getting hacked and you think they can't manufacture fake tags?
Well, wait a minute. Now you've gone from a problem with a pig to
Whole problem with this whole system.
Say the woman,
the whole system is broken.
Is making her own fake pig tags.
I'm just saying that it's a scam that if you put a vest on, the animal can go anywhere. It's like a certificate you print off the internet to be a surgeon. It's like what are you so coy? A vest makes this.
No, it's not the vest. It's the you. It has a place on it that has a picture of the pig. Has the name, has the qualifications. I mean, it's a license.
Mr. Libertarian over here is all pro-license all of a sudden. Oh, wow. Look at that.
What is this? There's no way to win here.
There's
no way to win.
No, you just lost this.
That's
argument.
The design of this. Yes.
Right, right.
So what are you supposed to do?
You're supposed to handle it during your flight, I think. You're supposed to handle it without the pig. That's my thing.
What if they
handle it without the pig?
They brought the pig all the way through security already, though. What are they going to do?
Yeah. Well, they took it off because the pig was running up and down the aisle.
See, that's the problem.
So then they tried to lash it to one of the seats. And
what?
It couldn't. It just pulled off the leash. And so
well,
they finally had to
that's
take
that's not a support pig. That's just a pig.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
The vest makes no difference.
There might be. I've never heard of one, but I mean.
I don't think there
that's
are
what
emotional
the license,
support pigs.
I bet you there are.
What kind of emotional support can a pig give a human being? Come on. As bacon they can, yes.
More in-depth pig on airplane talk coming on Pat Gray Unleashed.
Pat, you're answering all the email from the people who have pigs. I'm going to send them to you. Mm-hmm. You can just email Pat at glenbeck.com.
Or Pat Unleashed on Twitter. You can tweet him your emotional pig support.
I'd like to see pictures of all of the pigs that this audience has. I'll bet you there is somebody. It's 10 million people. There's got to be people out there with pigs.
Of course
there
are.
That are running in their house.
And they're furious at us right now.
Oh, yeah. My pig is clean. He doesn't smell. He sleeps with me every night. And I can put quarters in his back.
My wife actually went through a period where she was trying to convince me to get a pig as a pet. It was a limited period.
There's like pot belly pigs.
Yeah,
or
like
something.
You actually can, and I guess they're pretty good pets. Yes. Supposedly,
yes.
That does not mean you bring them on planes.
Yeah,
that's not a good idea.
There was a one time that I wanted to have a lion as a pet.
You should do that. You should actually go into a lion cage, test it out for a few hours, just to see what happens.
I think those were in my drinking days. I'm not really sure. Anyway. Your mortgage rate depends on a lot of factors. The global economy, the loan that you choose, how many points you pay. Other variables that can add cost are the property type, whether your home is primary for you or not. This is why when you are a home buyer and you're looking to get a loan, you need to find the pre-approval mortgage guidance before making an offer on a home. If you're a veteran, you haven't used your VA benefits. With interest rates this low, now is the time to get into a new home or to refinance. The way to start is by calling the salary experts, the salary-based experts at American Financing. These guys are not paid by the bank. They're paid by American Financing, and they just look for the best loan out there. They'll find it for you. That way, you're not strapped into something that was not in your best interest. With American Financing, straightforward and effortless mortgage experience is happening every day. Make your next purchase of a home or your refinancing effortless and easy. American Financing. Call them now, 800-906-2440, 800-906-2440, or online at AmericanFinancing.net, AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Let's play the audio here. This is Brian Johnson. He's a startup entrepreneur describing the possibilities of having microchips inserted in your brain. Listen to this.
I started a company called Kernel a year ago, and I invested $100 million to create chips that would be implanted in the brain to help address disease and dysfunction. We're leveraging this emerging technology to also explore how we might extend human potential. The first cochlear implant was approved by the FDA 30 years ago. There's now 300,000 of these implants. A deep brain stimulator was approved by the FDA in 1997, and 125,000 people now have this implanted. Let's take a look at how far this technology has come.
On and okay.
Okay, so it's a guy who's in complete control. He's holding up a monitor. And he turns this thing off. He's in complete control. And now his hands...
So it's almost an instantaneous reaction.
His hands are completely shaking. Parkinson's.
That's incredible, the difference.
Yeah. Now, this just came out. Science Alert. For the first time ever, scientists have boosted human memory with a brain implant. University of Southern California has demonstrated the use of a brain implant to improve the human memory. A research associate professor of biomedical engineering at USC recently presented his findings on a memory prosthesis. They've put a chip into people's brains, and it stimulates different parts of the brain. They have increased short-term memory by 15% and working memory by 25%.
That's incredible.
Okay. I mean, would you have that?
It's one of those things where you feel like the answer to that should be no.
I know.
But it actually kind of sounds great. And I will say the case he makes there, which is cochlear implants, where a person couldn't hear and now can. People who had Parkinson's are able to control their lives because of these things. These are implants, right? They are changing the way the body, the brain works. What's the difference? It's a fairly compelling argument. If you can improve your life, if you can take away diseases and
so the
ailments.
Difference is, I think, in this is augmenting yourself like that's just stimulating your brain. That's not a chip that is putting, you know, that you're uploading stuff into. You're not merging with machines. This is just a machine that is pushing you to the limits. I think that's the difference in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Could be completely bogus. The part that is spooky is the AI connection. Tomorrow we're going to get into this inside the First Church of Artificial Intelligence. The new religion of artificial intelligence is called the Way of the Future, and it represents an unlikely next act for a Silicon Robotics wunderkind at the center of high stakes legal battle between Uber and Waymo. Blah 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 blah. He says, what we're going to create is going to be effectively a god. We need to face that. It's not a god in the sense that it makes lightning or causes hurricanes, but if there's something that is a billion times smarter than the smarter human, what else are you going to call it other than God? Warning.
Glenn Beck.